The Gomeraka Hospital Emergency Department will remain closed indefinitely after failing to attract vital funding and government support. Federal Member for Mayo Rebecca Sharkey joins me now to discuss. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning, Jenny. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you with us. And I was under the impression the state government was set to reopen the ED. What happened?
Well, I think we were all under that opinion because Minister Wade put out a message on his Facebook page that he was going to be working with the Gomeraka community and particularly the doctor's practice there to make sure that it could open. We haven't seen any funding and we haven't heard anything more. And concerningly, we haven't seen a media release, and you would know, normally things are put out in writing and there's more concrete than clearly a social media message. So I'm really urging the state government and the opposition, we're now in a state election, to make a commitment to Gomeraka Hospital. It's not going to be that expensive. We've heard costs of around $500,000 a year, but that will provide a proper emergency department service for the Gomeraka community. It's not just Gomeraka. Out to Mount Pleasant, that's no longer a hospital, up to Kersbrook and, of course, down through to Lobethorne Woodside. So it's a really important service that needs to be reinstated.
From what I understand, part of the reason that it can't reopen is the lack of staff. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then that's where, obviously, you need to dip into the purse to cover that cost. I can't imagine that there aren't nurses and doctors that don't want to work there, but they can't be expected to volunteer to do it. So I think it needs a financial investment by the state government. State governments run hospitals, effectively, and that has been an operating emergency department for decades. And what we saw was a closure due to COVID because part of the hospital does function as an aged care facility. I think we broadly understood that as a community, but that can't be a permanent solution. And I think that to close it under those circumstances and then not reopen, I think is a real slap in the face to the community, and the state government needs to act.
Rebecca Sharkey, what do you reckon, though, about the $15 million Mount Barker ED construction starting on that? I know you've been quite an advocate for that funding.
Yeah, no, look, that's exciting that it's starting. And just in my EFO last year, we got some extra funding for Mount Barker because there was a shortfall. But really, I think we need to plan for a vision for the future. We've been told by the experts it's really going to cost around $200 million for a proper all-new hospital for Mount Barker. Again, that's supporting a very large region. We're going to have about 100,000 people living across the Adelaide Hills region that will use that in less than two decades. I've already had a meeting with Josh Frydenberg last week, the Treasurer, and talked to him about a significant down payment for a properly expanded hospital that has paediatric services, that has mental health services, and that will cater for the population size that we're going to have. It's welcome that they're doing some improvements at the moment, but really I think we need to look to the future for a proper brand new standalone hospital.
Member for Mayo Rebecca Sharkey's with us. You met with the Federal Treasurer with an extensive list of needs earlier this month. Tell us about this. Aside from a bigger spend on health in the hills, what else would you like to see?
Outside of funding on hospitals, we do need to have a reinstatement of the alcohol and drugs programs that is regional funding. It's around $20 million a year. It sits right across the regions of SA, including Mayo. That funding is due to run out in June this year. And that was funding that we initially got a couple of years ago through lobbying the government. So we were pleased to have that, but we do need to have that extended. And that really supports 16 to 25-year-olds in particular. We know that that's an area where if we can get them off drugs and into a healthy life, the sooner the better, the more chances are of employment and having a good life. We need to have the dental voucher scheme for older Australians. I put that to the Treasurer and said, look, this is actually a cost saving. From a sport and rec perspective in our community, there's a great project for the Stirling Pavilion at the Stirling Oval. It was set to be developed back in the 1930s, but about $1.5 million is needed to complete the project, and that will hopefully mark the centenary of when the Stirling Oval was developed in the first place, and the Strathalbyn Community Sports Centre. We desperately need a basketball facility out there. Young people are playing games well into the night. It's a fast-growing part of Mayo, and it's a sport that is really popular, and we need to make sure that we can provide the facilities for that. So calling on the government to provide $8 million towards a three-court venue for the Strathalbyn community. And some other needs further down the Fleurieu in Wollunga, the netball courts are desperately needed, and Aldinga really does need an aquatic centre. We've managed to get a significant amount of funding in for Mount Barker, but Aldinga is another fast-growing part of Mayo. People forget how large Mayo is. It's often quoted as being the Adelaide Hills, but of course it's Adelaide Hills, all of the Fleurieu and Kangaroo Island. I also talked to the Treasurer about transport. Now, the state government has made a pledge for some movable barriers down the freeway. I think that that's a sound idea and will help, particularly when there's an accident, to be able to move traffic around. I've been stuck for a couple of hours behind a truck fire, and it is quite a precarious situation. So we really need around $75 million for the project from the federal government to make that a reality, and then talked with the Treasurer about perennial black spot funding for telecommunications. We still have several areas right across Mayo that need to have coverage, and a little one that if you live in Cuddly Creek, you know all about it, but if you live outside Cuddly Creek, you might not. Cuddly Creek people don't get the same level of television coverage, free-to-air TV, that we have across much of Mayo, and so they're very limited in their channels, and I think they even get Imparja as their channel outside of Channel 2. So calling for a television retransmission tower at Cuddly Creek.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Rebecca Sharkey.
Pleasure. Thanks for being with me.